And joining us now in the studio, after a week hiatus, is Orange County Board of Commissioners Chair Mark Dorison. Good to be with you today.
It's great to be back with you, Aaron. How
Absolutely.
Are you?
I'm good. I'm better now that you're here, because you can make sense of everything that's going on here in our community and beyond. So there's a lot to talk about. I know Orange County Board of Commissioners is starting to get back to regular meetings. You had a retreat earlier today with Economic Development. But I want to start by talking about the Silent Sam protest, because that's front and center on everyone's minds, as it should be. You were at that rally last night, the anti-Sam rally. What was your take on it?
Well, I was there in the capacity as a legal observer with the National Lawyers Guild, so mm-hmm. not a participant per se, but I was impressed by the turnout. It was a larger crowd than I expected. But, you know, ultimately, I think disappointed that the university didn't seize the opportunity which they'd been given, I think, by several folks to act prospectively and move that statue and take it down. And so I think that there was a real missed opportunity. And as a result, I mean, fortunately, there was, you know, there were just a few arrests and no serious injuries. But I do think that there was an opportunity for some bold leadership, and it didn't materialize. And I think, you know, looking past that a little bit, it's worth noting, I mean, my own opinion is the reason that there wasn't more decisive action taken is that there's a real fear of retribution from the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, through budgeting or other, you know, other aggressive measures. And I think that's that realization, or this most recent example of that kind of government by intimidation that our state is subject to is, it's tragic.
Mm-hmm. What about the role of police departments, law enforcement in all of these? I know there's been a lot of concern about and some sort of back and forth between protesters and police last night. Certainly a little bit of that in Durham last week. Criticism of police for not going far enough on Monday or going too far on Friday. And when we're talking about demonstrations, freedom of speech, civil rights, racism, obviously there's concern about law enforcement in the midst of all of this. They've got some hard decisions to make, though, because you can't anticipate what a protest is going to be. What's your take on how law enforcement has handled the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think that, you know, that it's very much a situation to be determined, you know, on the ground on a case-by-case basis. I was surprised by the number of officers out there and the level of police engagement. At one point, I saw in the area that they were sort of using as the base of operations, you know, there appeared to be officers in, you know, what looked like full military gear. I think that I thought there were a couple of instances that I observed where I think the officers were overly aggressive. I saw, you know, people being pushed to the ground, you know, forcefully. I thought that, you know, the person who was arrested for wearing a bandana, you know, bandana over their face, I mean, I didn't see any engagement with that person to take the bandana off. I think he was identified and then was immediately swept upon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but also I do, you know, I understand that it is a tense situation. And I think, again, I you know, there's these questions about, well, could the university have taken it down? Could they have not have taken it down?
Mm.
I mean, I think that statue is akin to an incitement for violence. And so I think that is sufficient grounds for them to, you know, to take action. I mean, we were fortunate that there wasn't violence, that folks weren't, there weren't any serious injuries, but there were moments in the crowd where that certainly could have gone that way.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Mark Dorison, again, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, managing attorney for the UNC Center for Civil Rights, you were observing. What was the what were you observing? Who were you observing it for?
As part of the National Lawyers Guild.
Yeah. Last night at the Silent Sam demonstration, and I just kind of want to pick your brain on this because I know you've got a lot to. I mean, we've all done a lot of reflecting on the role of history, the role of monuments, statues, racism, white supremacy in the last couple of weeks. I think, for better or worse, we've learned a lot in the last 2 weeks about the state of our country. What are your just sort of general thoughts between Charlottesville, what happened in Durham last week, what happened in Chapel Hill last night, and is continuing to happen because that debate's going to go on?
Well, I think it's one of the, I mean, if there's anything positive that's been coming out of this, I do think that the country as a whole is really getting a more accurate history lesson mm-hmm. about both the Confederacy and the legacy of white supremacy. I had a person who was talking to who was telling me taking these statues down is that's revisionist history. And the truth is it was putting the statues up.
Exactly.
That was the revisionist yeah. history. And so people don't know, not enough people know that story. And there's been a lot of good articles and op-eds about the real purpose behind these statues, the nature of, you know, why they were put up, where they were put up.
When they were put up.
When they yeah. were put up, right? Yeah. The, as a, you know, as part of the, you know, the reemergence of white supremacy in the South and the, you know, the entrenchment of Jim Crow. And so, and I think broader discussions about, you know, how we've dealt with the particular history of the Civil War and the Confederacy, and looking at how other nations have dealt with that. And so, you know, Germany is always one example that's pointed to. I heard somebody on the radio saying, you know, you don't see statues of George Washington in England, right? You know, they were the traitors in that context. And certainly, so I think that discussion is critical. But I also have been encouraged by the discussion that is going on that recognizes it's not just about statues and
yes.
monuments.
Yeah.
That it really is about, you know, that they are representations of the kind of institutional discrimination that needs to be addressed at a broader level. And so hopefully the discussions and the engagement will continue beyond should the statue come up, should the statue stay down, and talk about, you know, what is really happening in our communities. You know, one of the things about Charlottesville, it's really fascinating, you know, that the city council there, you know, struggled with this question of the racial legacy, the racist legacy mm-hmm. of their community. Taking down the statue was one piece of it, but they also adopted a reparations economic benefits package designed to really address the social and economic disparities that African Americans in that community experienced because of segregation and its continuing impacts. That's the kind of conversations and policies and practices that I hope will continue to come out of this.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point too, because, you know, and kind of the same thing happened 2 years ago with the Confederate flag debate. We had this symbol that everyone focused on, and it did come down in a lot of really prominent places, and that was a positive step in the right direction. We're 2 years later, and we're still dealing with a legacy and a presentness of racial disparities, racial discrimination, white supremacy, clearly in the United States, and racism in general. So taking the symbol down is step one, but that's step one of, and it's not step one, it's step 1,000, because we've come a long way already, but there's 1,000 more steps to go. And keeping sight of that, I think, is extremely important too.
I think that's absolutely yeah. right. And seeing how it is part of a broader discussion and engagement. I mean, the truth is our people of color in our community and across the country have been fighting this fight for a long time. And all of the issues that, you know, have led us to this point over the last, you know, 10 years that have risen, you know, mass incarceration,
mm-hmm.
the murder of African Americans by police officers, you know, that recognizing that it's all part and parcel of the same, you know, structural components of discrimination in our society is
yeah.
critical.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, and the one thing that I think is kind of ironic in all, well, many things that are kind of ironic in all of this, but one thing is for all of the criticism by conservatives of people who are calling for the statue to be taken down is, oh, well, you're whitewashing history. And I think you said it best just a couple of minutes ago. Silent Sam, up until a few years ago, was kitsch. It was there. People walked past it. They made jokes about it. No one thought about the history. Now, because of this movement that students have driven for many years, that has really taken on a life of its own in the last few years, people know the history now. Whether the statue comes down or stays up, people are not going to look at that statue and forget the history again. And I think that's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And yeah. Hopefully that consciousness raising is going to continue.
Yeah. Speaking with, again, Mark Dorson, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. So let's talk about Board of Commissioners related stuff. Economic development retreat earlier today, and then meetings are going to be starting up again soon. So what was the retreat earlier today?
Well, today's retreat was, again, it was focused on economic development and really looking at the economic development zones that the county had identified and mm-hmm. for several years, many years ago, the three along the I-85, I-40 corridor. You know, there's Buckhorn on the west, and there's Eno on the east, and then one in Hillsborough. So really doing a closer analysis of what's there, what opportunities are available for economic development. And that was eye-opening, given, you know, the really looking at when you look at the constraints based on slope and setbacks and environmental restrictions, you know, stream buffers and things, that, you know, we have these very large multi-acres, you know, there's a 2,000 acres altogether, but when you get rid of all of that and you know, the railroad right-of-way and the highways, you know, you're really looking at a much smaller pool of developable properties. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, having that narrower focus, I think, can be really helpful in how we promote and market and seek economic growth for those areas. But it was also a reminder that the economic development vision has to be broader than just those areas. And so that was a good lesson for me, and I think for all of us that were there today. The other part of it that was really significant and was sort of a theme is that even though this was a retreat focused on economic development, recognizing that, again, as with everything else, that's not really a separate compartment of all right. The other interests that the county is trying to serve. So you've got to, you know, housing has an economic development component, schools, you know, job training, transit, all right. of those pieces, while we look at them too often in compartments because they're complicated and they require expertise, it's really critical to be seeing how those pieces fit together to meet the county's broader vision and goals. Yeah. And that's a challenge. And the trick is not to get overwhelmed, I think.
So what's the role of, like, county commissioners in terms of promoting development there? And the economic development districts have been created. They've got the office. Steve Brantley's working on it. So what is your role in terms of facilitating that and moving it in the direction that we want it to go?
I think part of our role is, you know, helping, you know, craft the message, mm-hmm. you know, sort of what is it we're looking for when we talk about economic development in Orange County, and what is it we hope to get out of it? For a long time, I think the whole focus was on changing the property tax balance between residential and non-residential. And that's one component, but certainly not, you know, not the only one. You know, working on things related to, you know, we want jobs for folks who work in Orange County. We want to make it so that that those are, you know, good quality jobs. We want them to be, if they can, environmentally sensitive and responsible. And so, you know, how do we craft a message out of that, which a lot of places have that message, right? How do we craft a message that matches that with Orange County's particular and unique strengths? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the role where the commissioners can provide some leadership and some guidance.
What else is coming up for Orange County that people want to know about?
Well, we, you know, there is so much happening. We're jumping right back into things. We've got, you know, our meetings start the first week of September. And, you know, one of the things I know that is at the top of the priority list is continuing to push forward on affordable housing. And mm-hmm. and that's something, you know, we awarded a portion, the first half of the bond money at the end of our meetings in the spring. And so you know, continuing to see those projects move forward, as well as preparing for the, you know, what will be the next round of bond projects a year from now. So that's certainly one of the priorities that we're really, really trying to focus on.
OrangeCountyNC.gov is the county's website. Go there and find out more. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Always great to see you, Aaron.